Hello, and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. We also welcome our listening audience, and we invite everyone to visit us online at www.commonwealthclub.org. I am Lynn Curtis, co-chair of the club's Art Forum, along with Ann Smith, back here, and I'm your program organizer for this evening. This, as we've already talked about, is the program is part of the platform series Music Matters, sponsored by Ernst & Young and the John and Marcia Goldman Foundation. Now I'd like to talk about Keith Terry, who is ready to begin. Keith is a percussionist, rhythm dancer, educator, composer, producer, and ringmaster, whose artistic vision has straddled the line between music and dance for more than four decades. He's performed across the country and across the world. Trained as a percussionist, Keith was a drummer when his drum patterns became hand claps and foot slaps, then dance as his body became his instrument. As a teacher, Keith Terry has conducted master classes, workshops, and residencies, and was on the faculty of UCLA's Department of World Arts and Cultures from 1998 to 2005. His work has been supported by numerous awards and grants. He is a 2008 Guggenheim Fellow and founding director of CrossPulse, an Oakland-based arts organization dedicated to rhythm-based intercultural music. And it is my pleasure to introduce Keith Terry.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. Carol, thank you. Lynn, thank you. Anne, thank you for having me here. My name is Keith Terry, and I was just doing a little bit of body music, sometimes called body drumming, body percussion. It goes by many names. But I like the term body music because it implies more than just the percussive side. If I think of the voice, melody, and harmony, it becomes more of a musical package than just the rhythmic side. But body music, body drumming, body percussion, whatever you want to call it, it's probably the oldest music on the planet. Before we were making instruments, hollowing logs, slapping rocks, using gourds, we were probably clapping and stomping, using our voices to express our musical ideas. And there are traditional styles all over the world still today. In the United States, we have hand bone. Do you know where your hand bone is? Well, it's not hand bone, it's hand bone. This is your hand bone. Play your hand bone. Play your other hand bone. Play somebody else's hand bone. No. I'd just like to see who will do that. So hand bone, the story goes, hand bone, 1739, there was a slave rebellion in the Carolinas along the Stono River. And as a way to suppress the slave rebellion, the slave owners took away the drums from the slaves. They were concerned that they were communicating ideas over long distances, which they probably were. So without their drums, these people, many of them from West Africa, an area very rich in rhythmic knowledge, rhythmic music and dance, without their drums, they started displacing their rhythms onto their bodies. And hand bone was born in this country. Now, this idea of taking away the drums from the slaves spread throughout the states, throughout the colonies. And only in, this is a bit controversial, but some people say only in New Orleans were the slaves allowed to keep their drums, which explains so much about why things and how things developed there musically. It was the French influence. So I'm not a hand bone expert, but a few years ago, I got to spend some time with Mr. John D. Holman down in North Carolina. And John D. Holman showed me some of the core parts of hand bone that I'd like to share with you today. So part one goes like this. You'll follow me, clap. Yes, yes, yeah. And stop. Good. So now we're going to change the rhythm a little bit. And by the way, I encourage you to clap palm to palm. That will save your hands. It'll save your hands. If you start here, it's a great sound. But not only will you be hurting your hands, but then you start beating yourself up because then you start trying to equalize the volume with the other parts of your body. So if you cup your hands, it will save your hands. So if we go. Nice. And a stop. Good. So now we're going to change the rhythm. It sounds like this. And a one, and a two. You know what to do. So your pickup precedes the downbeat, yeah? And a one, and a two, and a three, and a four. Your second chest is the downbeat, yeah? A one, a two, a three, a four, and stop. Any jazz drummers in the house? We got one in the back. So what is the rhythm? What is the jazz ride rhythm, which is played on the ride cymbal, the big cymbal next to the kick drum, bass drum? Can you sing that rhythm for me? Yeah. Just the swing rhythm, yeah? It's the same. Good, yeah, thank you very much. It's the same rhythm. It's the same rhythm right out of West Africa into hand bone, later into jazz. You know, I love it when the dots are so easily connected. They're so clear where the roots are, where this comes from. So that's part one. Part two. Johnny Holman says that anytime you're playing this part of your body, the rhythm is called hand bone. So this is a little confusing because the art form is also called hand bone. So this rhythm goes like this. I'll demonstrate it, then I'll break it down. It goes. Beautiful rhythm, isn't it? It's so simple but beautiful. Okay, so your first sound is brushing up, and you can do this sitting or standing. It's up to you, okay? So the first sound is brushing up on your legs. Ready, go, brush. Ready, go, brush. Ready, go. Oh, one more time. Good. The next sound, both hands on your chest. So you're going to go brush chest. Ready, go. A ready, go. Brush chest. A ready, go. Oh, one more time. Good. The next sound, the back of the hands brushing down across the tops of the legs. Yeah. So you're brushing up chest, brushing back with your on the, over the tops of your legs. Ready, go. Brush chest, brush and brush chest, brush and brush, brush and brush chest, brush and brush. You look great out there. Brush chest, brush and one more time. Good. Now we're going to change the rhythm a little bit. We're going to take away the pause or the rest. So it's going to sound like this: brush chest, brush chest, brush, brush. A ready and go. Good, good, good. You sound great. Okay, now we're going to change the rhythm a little bit. It's going to sound like this. Dun, 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 dun. Slap. And you got to slap there. Not too hard on the sides of your legs. So you go brush, chest, brush, brush, chest, brush, slap. And a go. Three, five. And a one, two, and three, four. And a one, two, and three, four. And a one, and three, four, and a one. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, the last rhythm I want to show you is called Juba, or Patton Juba. Now, Juba was a slave, and apparently he was a remarkable dancer. When he received his freedom from slavery, he toured the world giving concerts. So this rhythm is named for him. He's a very important person in African-American history. Juba, or Patton Juba. And it goes like this. It looks like a lot of games that we play on the playground when we're young. It goes like this. Yeah? Let's try it. So I'll mirror you, okay? So my left side is your right side. So it's your right hand and your right leg. You got your left hand on top. So you're going to go down, up, down. When you come up, your right hand hits the palm of your left hand. So we go down, up, down, and down, up, down, and a down, down, and a down, up, down. Uh-huh. Down, up, down. Now we switch, and you got your left hand on your left leg, your right hand on top. A down, up, down, and a down, up, down. Down, up, down, and a down, up. Switch, and a right side. Switch, and a left side. Switch, and a right side. Switch, and a left side. Switch, and a back and forth, and a back and forth. Now we're going to take out this rest, the pause. Here we go. Dun, dun, dun. Down, up, down, down, up, down, down, up, down. Like a waltz, yeah? And a stop. Good. So this rhythm, if we could change it a little bit, it goes like this. Dun, 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 dun. And what? Dun, 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 dun. And and dun, Nice, nice, nice. Now, to reference this in musical terms, and it doesn't really matter if you understand music or not, but it's just one way of framing it, you can count the triplets. You can go one, two, three, four, five. You can count it that way. But in relation to the underlying quarter note downbeats, it's like this. One, two, three, four, and a one. Two, three, four, and a one. Two, three, four, and a one. Two, three, four. Good. You hear the tension that is created with these triplets against these quarter note downbeats? It's what gives the rhythms life. It gives them spark, electricity. That's exactly what gives it the juice. Yeah? Okay, so now we have three parts. We got this part, we got hand bone, we got juba. All right, so let's try it. Let's see if we can put these together. You can do it. I know you can. So how about this group right over here? You got part one, yeah? And let's say, how about the rest of you on this side? You got part two. You got the hand bone part. And this side over here, we're going to give you the juba part, okay? So we'll start one at a time. I'll remind you how it goes. Don't worry. Don't panic, okay? Just keep breathing. Okay, so part one, if I go a one, two, ready, and a one. Oh, let's see if we can get that pickup. A one, two, ready, and a one. Yeah, two. Three, a four, and a one. And hold it right there. Anchor that rhythm for us. Try to keep it from speeding up, okay? Just hold it right there. Keep going. Group two, let's bring you in. Ready, go. And a one, and a two, and a three, and a four. Yeah, you got it. Good. Keep going. Group three. We got Juba coming over here, yeah? I'll bring you in just a minute. A one, two, ready, go. And a zap, and a zap, keep going, yeah, zap, you got it, zap, ba, da, da, ba, da, da, zap, da, and a one. And stop. Good. Could you hear when we got those parts going how they fit together? It's the genius of the parts. They're three simple parts, but when they are all activated, it's this conversation. It's like a weaving or something, how the parts work together. And that is that conversation that happens with polyrhythms, multiple rhythms. Yeah. There's one more hand bone part that I'd like to show you. This came on later in history. It's called the lawnmower. And I'll demonstrate it, and then we'll break it down. It goes like this. Why do you think they call it the lawnmower? It's like those. I use it to mow the lawn every week. It chops down the grass. It's like those old-fashioned lawnmowers without the push mowers, without the motors on them. So if you put out an arm, yeah, just like that. Put out an arm. You can use your fingers of the other hand. You're going to slap your upper arm. You're going to slap it once and let it drop to your lap. So you go slap, lap. Ready, go. Slap, lap. Keep it light. Don't hurt yourself. Or anyone else, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So you're just, and you're letting your hand drop. And then you switch. And you go, slap, slap, ready, go. Mm-hmm. Switch. There you go, da, da, switch, and a da, da, switch, and a. And you go back and forth, and you go a little faster. Keep it relaxed. And soon, you are the lawnmower. The lawnmower. Now, the interesting thing about the lawnmower is it only works in one direction. Just like the push mowers, they only cut in one direction. But listen to this, if I'm coming toward me, if I go away from me, listen. Nothing. Just a little interesting bit of information about the lawnmower. Ham bone. Now, ham bone are wonderful rhythms, but you know, there are songs that are associated with ham bone. And there are lyrics that I've been hearing and I've read about. And some lyrics keep reappearing in my research on this. And like ham bone, where you been? Around the world and back again. Or down the road and back again. Ham bone, what have you seen? I've seen cornbread and I've seen some beans. What do you think this might mean? First of all, do you think it's literal? No. Say what? Southern cooking. Yeah, it could be about southern cooking. Ham bone, where you been? Around the world and back again, or down the road and back again. Ham bone, what have you seen? I've seen cornbread and I've seen some beans. Well, I'll give you what I know about this. At Christmas time, sometimes a slave owner would give to a slave family a ham bone, the shank, the leg of the pig. And the slave family, they would take it, they would boil it for a little taste of meat because they didn't often have meat in their diet. This was a special occasion, Christmas. And then they would pass that ham bone on to another slave family in the community. They would boil it for a taste of meat. And they would pass it on to another family. You get the idea. It would go from family to family to family. So if you're one of the last families to get this ham bone, it probably tasted like it had been around the world and back again, or down the road and back again. Ham bone, what have you seen? I've seen cornbread and I've seen some beans. Well, that was the rest of the meal. So like all traditional arts, you know, in music and dance, it's more than just the steps. It's more than just the melody. But it gives us a glimpse into history in a moment, things that happen, things that occur, important things, things that are important to pass on from generation to generation. Perhaps an event or just what was happening to these people at this time, what their lives were like. It gives us a glimpse, a little snapshot into their reality. So ham bone was created out of necessity. You know, when the drums disappeared. Ham bone. Also in the United States, we have stepping, which comes out of African-American fraternities and sororities. It's a very aggressive kind of competitive, a lot of pride in it, very loud, these kinds of movements, really dynamic. And it was pretty much inside that community for many years until two films, Stomp the Yard Part 1 and Stomp the Yard Part 2, came out a few years ago and exposed it to a much broader audience. And now many people of outside African-Americans are practicing stepping. But it's still at the heart of sororities and fraternities on campuses. We also have beatboxing, enormously popular all over the world. Yeah. So there's a few styles right here in the U.S. Now, if we leave the U.S., we go across the Pacific Ocean into the Indian Ocean, into Indonesia, a country of 3,000 islands. And there's one tiny island there, Bali, which is rich in rhythmic music and dance, and they do a vocal percussion, vocal chanting. It's kind of similar to beatboxing, but different. They use the syllable chuck. Can you say chuck? Can you say chuck, chuck? Can you say chuck, chuck, chuck? Can you say chuck, 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 chuck? I thought you could. So they'll take this this syllable and they'll make rhythms like this. Chuck, 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 chuck. Will you join me? Chuck, 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 chuck. Good, good, good. Now they'll take this rhythm and they'll like the hand bone rhythms. It's polymeters. Polyrhythms. Multiple rhythms. So they'll add other rhythms like this one. Cha, 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 cha. One, two, ready, go. Cha, cha. It starts in silence. It goes. Cha, 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 cha. Cha 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 cha. Beautiful. Let's try these two parts together. You got it. This side over here, we're going to take the first part. Cha 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 cha. Sounds good. Keeps going. Second part goes here. Cha 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 cha. Ketchup, say ketchup. Not ketchup, ketchup. Ketchuk is really dynamic, and I'm going to show you a bit of a video clip of Ketchuk in a moment. Ketchuk. Now, also in Indonesia and in different islands, Sumatra, they have this very special clapping that looks like this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you have both hands, you take the fingers of one hand, and you play the palm here, and then you switch, and you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Now, another way to think about this is that your arms are parallel and your elbows are going up and down, and that puts your hands in the right position there. It's a beautiful sound, and you can kind of go fast with this one, too. It's that that interesting combination of being relaxed but rigid at the same time. Now, there's a man who holds the Guinness World Book Records for fastest clapping, and he claps using this technique 14 claps per second. So you can see him, you can Google him, just Google fastest clapper in the world. I don't think he even has a name anymore, he just goes by fastest clapper in the world. But he's a blur, he's a very fast clapper. All right, now if we leave Indonesia and we go to, let's go to Morocco, in North Africa, there's a very special kind of clapping that the Ganawa people do, it sounds like this. Get that high popping sound. What you're doing is trapping air between your palms. So open your fingers really, really wide. And when you clap, you're going to align your fingers so you see one hand if you were looking from the side. And it's not how hard you clap. It's all about placement. Let's do some call and response. I'll start. So if I go, and you, and me, and you, uh-huh, uh-huh, all right, so you heard that I'm changing the pitch. what happens, and it may take a little bit of practice on your part to get the basic, but once you have it, if you rotate one hand, you can change the pitch. Listen, here's the regular, and then if I go, I can change pitch. I have friends in Brazil, in Sao Paulo, called a group called Barbatux, and they've worked on this so much that they can actually play melodies and harmonies using it. And it's an amazing sound when you have lots of people really controlling the pitch. Now, some people think that the Moors took this idea from North Africa. This kind of, it's called Rouche in Morocco, but it changes names as it passes into the Persian Gulf. That the Moors took this idea north into Spain, and it became later incorporated into flamenco music and dance. And you've heard palmas. So a very simplified version, if you take three fingers of one hand, and you play the... get that slapping sound. Yeah, palmas. So this gives you just a very brief taste of some of the traditional styles of body music around the world. So I'd like to do a couple of other things. I'd like to, there are a couple of video clips that I'd like, brief ones I'd like to show you. It's just kind of where, from tradition to contemporary body music. First of all, I'm a drummer. I've been playing drums all my life, like Lynn mentioned. And in 1978, I was working with tap dancers. That great generation of tap dancers, Charles Honey Coles, Charles Cookie Cooks, the Nicholas Brothers, Sandman Sims, Chuck Green, Eddie Brown, that generation of tap dancers, I was playing drums for many of them. And I was so inspired by them that one day, in a rehearsal, I stood up and I just displaced everything I was playing on the drums onto my body. And that's how I got started. And there were two great tap dancers, Charles Honey Coles and Charles Cookie Cook, who at different times took me aside, but basically said the same things. They said, you know, what you're doing is very similar to the hand bone we had done in vaudeville, but it's different. The rhythms are different, and it moves in a different way, and you should pursue this. So I took their advice, and I'm still pursuing it, still trying to figure out what it does and what it can do. So through my organization, CrossPulse, which I began also in 1978, a lot happened in those couple of years. We really started focusing on intercultural rhythmic music, and focusing primarily on body music. And we've done a number of things in later years, and one is a new book that just came out called Rhythm of Math. And it's using the body to teach rhythmic skills, grades 3 through 5, using body music. And just kind of to give you, I'm gonna show you a brief clip on this, but just to give you an idea, mapping out the body, here's a 1, here's a 3, you've already played a 3, but here's a 5, here's a 7, and here's a 9, okay? So we can, based on just that, actually it goes 1 through 9, the even numbers as well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You can do so much with those numbers. So I'd like to show you this brief clip about the book.
Ready, go. 1, 2. 1, 2. Okay. Lots. And back. Okay. Lots.
1, 2, 3, 2, 4, 2, 5, 2, 6, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 3, 2.
So my co-author, Linda Akiyama, is a retired school teacher here in the public school district here in San Francisco, and now she's a math specialist for the district. And we worked on this book for literally about 10 years, not knowing that we were working on a book for the first 5 years. But and then we piloted it in 6 schools in San Francisco and 6 schools in Oakland. over a period of about 6 months. And we just came out with a book a few months ago. So we're really excited. The thing that we are most excited about is that a lot of children who are having difficulty with math concepts, we're hearing a lot of, oh, I get it. They're kinesthetic learners, and they've basically been, that part of their brain has been ignored for a long time. Other children who have difficulty sitting still can kind of channel that energy. And then children who are having no problems with math suddenly realized that they could hear the equations and the formulas that they were writing, and it was like opening a window to what they were already doing and understanding. So that's the Rhythm of Math book. Another thing that we do through CrossPulse is the International Body Music Festival, which I started in 2008. It happens here in the Bay Area, in San Francisco and Oakland, but we also travel with it. We've been in Istanbul, Turkey. We've been in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And just recently, last month, we were in Bali, Indonesia. And I'd like to show you a brief clip. It's just some of the highlights that happened last month, less than a month ago, at the International Body Music Festival. We had 85 artists from 15 countries, plus another 500 Balinese artists interacting with thousands of Balinese residents. You'll get a sense of it here. Or maybe not.
It's very quiet.
It was dark. It was a kind of a dark piece. And, oh, this is my favorite part, though. Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't you work on that, and I'll tell them about it. these are links, and we're depending on Wi-Fi for these, so they may not be cooperating with us. There's one more thing. Well, we'll see if this clip comes along. We'll go back to it if it does. A future project that's coming up next. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to the Canary Islands in Spain, where we're putting together a new project for 7 artists, 4 Europeans and 3 U.S. artists. Actually, 3 Europeans, a Cuban, and 3 U.S. artists that will be working in Europe the rest of 2015 and then 2016, and then we'll be touring in the States in 2017, in March of 2017. The show is called Body Music, Hear Music, See Dance. So I hope you'll keep an eye out for that. Any luck on those clips? No luck on those clips. All right. Well, how about this? I'll do another, I'll perform a little bit. Yes? We have had the festival in San Francisco on 3 occasions now, San Francisco and Oakland. We have stopped, for at least for the time being, producing the festival in the United States because it has become next to impossible with visas for foreign artists and taxation issues for foreign artists. It's not sustainable here in the U.S. We have come to accept that, as heartbreaking as it is, because this is our home. And this is where we started the festival. But it's easier. The reality is it's easier for us to produce it almost anywhere else in the world. Canada and the U.S. are very similar in terms of visa issues, as is England. So I'd say outside those 3, it's almost easier to produce anywhere else in the world. So we will be... we were in Indonesia this summer. Next year, in the fall of 2016, we'll be in Paris. And I think we'll be in Ghana the year after that. So for the time being, we are doing a mini-fest, which we do these small gatherings from time to time. We're doing one in Italy next month, October. We did one there last year. It's a 3-day festival. We had about a dozen artists. And we're doing 2 days here in November, one day in Oakland, 1 day in Berkeley, of workshops and schools and then performances. And that will be the 20th and 21st of November, the IBMF Minifest. Much smaller scale, fewer artists, but very fun. And if you're interested in body music, I encourage you to come check it out. All right, so have we given up on these completely? Yeah? All right. Let's hold our breath. No, not really. You can keep breathing. This is a preview of the new show that we're creating. This is a show that will be touring 2017 in the U.S. Shows off an image of jam in the lobby. So it's a little preview of the show that's soon to be touring. Any luck on the other one? No? Okay. How are we doing on... it's question time. All right. Hope you got some good questions or at least some good answers. To perform? Oh, I'll do one more piece and then we'll take some questions. All right, so this is based on the performance I did before had a lot of improvisation in it. There's a structure, as long as I can get from A to B, as long as I can get there, I'm okay. But how I get there in between is up for grabs, and it's different each time. This one is more set, and it's based on that kind of West African, I call it a cross pulse. It's when you have two time signatures or meters going on in the same amount of time and space. In Western classical music, hemiola. So like a three, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, one, two. So if I have one, two, three, one, da, 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 one, two, three, one, two, over three over here, two over here, da, 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 da. Three pulse and a two pulse going on in the same amount of time and space. So much of West African music is based on that, and this next piece is based on that feel. Okay, see, you're all doing body music right there. So we have time for some questions. Anybody have a question?
I'm thinking about Bobby McFerrin.
Uh-huh.
Did he do something like this?
Bobby does a lot of chest sounds with his singing. And you know, you may or may not know, Bobby used to live here in the Bay Area before he moved to Minneapolis and then on to Philadelphia. And we did a lot of duo work in the, must have been in the 80s. Of body music and his singing.
Okay.
But yeah, he still uses that that chest sound a lot in his work, kind of a signature sound. Yes?
Well, you mentioned you began with the improv, and when you do, most of the what you do is improv in it, and can a group dance together with improv involved?
Yes.
All right.
I don't really have a formula. Sometimes the work is more improvisational, and sometimes it's more set. And often when I have a group and we want to incorporate improvisation, we use that structure. It's like the architecture that I was talking about before. I have A and I have B, and as long as I get to B, I'm okay.
No matter how it gets there. And how can we know about the festivals or the lessons that are going to be going on?
The festivals, if you'd like to know more about those, you can check out our calendar at crosspulse.com. And if you'd like to be on my emailing list, you can sign right here or you can go to crosspulse.com. That's crosspulse.com, and you can sign up on the emailing list there. We send out a calendar once a month, an email calendar, so we won't spam you. But you'll hear about the upcoming festivals and workshops and performances. Yes?
In the blurb about this event,
uh-huh.
It said that you had been studying or something with African armpit music, which I found very intriguing.
I think what that was referring to is there is a style of Ethiopian armpit music that's created by cupping the hand under the arm without a shirt, and you get those sounds. I know all of you know what I'm talking about here. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I have this old recording of this Ethiopian armpit music, and it's one of my favorite recordings. And where I live in Oakland is a real section of town where there are a lot of Ethiopians. And so I'm always asking people about this. And apparently it's still done in the villages. People in the cities are too sophisticated to do it, but it's still done in the villages. And it's an amazing sound. And you can actually hear that recording if you, it's on YouTube. Not as a video, but as an audio. So if you Google Ethiopian armpit music, you'll find it.
Okay.
But it's an amazing sound. I often play it for students who cannot recognize what the sound is. Because the variation of pitch and the duration of tone is like no armpits I've ever heard. So, but it's amazing music. It's some of my favorite. Yeah, any other questions?
I have a friend who went to Bali.
Uh-huh.
All
right. Was she on our trip at the festival? Oh, great. All right. Yeah, like I said, we had 85 people from 15 countries that we were moving around each day. We presented 7 concerts in 9 days in 7 different venues. And we were in the city at the beginning at kind of the institutional. We were at the Bali Arts Festival in the institution. And then for the next, over that week, we were in 5 different villages, and we would go into the village. And we would do a workshop with the kids there, and then we would meet with the Ketchak group, the local Ketchak group, and we would give them a workshop, and then they would give us a workshop. Then we'd have dinner together, and then we would share the double bill concert. They would do half the program, we would do half the program. At the end of the festival, we brought all 5 villages together, 500 performers, Balinese performers, with our 85 people. And created a huge, we called it the Colossal Chak, the Colossal Ketchak. And it was really quite remarkable. You'll be, if you check out our website, we just finished this video clip that we're not seeing today. I had it rushed this morning so I could show it to you. But we'll be posting it on our website probably next week. And you can check that out if you like. Any other questions?
Was around in the 70s or 80s.
Of?
It was the Ketchak.
Ketchak, right.
The monkey chant.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's called the monkey chant. Sometimes it was just a misnomer. That's a Western name. I think what happened is it's sometimes used to portray the Hanuman's army when they enact these scenes from the Ramayana. You know, Bali is Hindu, by the way. The rest of Indonesia is Muslim. And so in Hinduism, there's the 2 great epics, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. Mm-hmm. So they'll sometimes take scenes from the Ramayana and portray them using music and dance and theater, you know, 100 performers. I mean, really spectacles kind of scale. And often in the scene where Hanuman is summoned to go find Sita, who's been kidnapped, they will use Ketchak, because the cha-cha sound is kind of similar to the monkey. But they call it Chak or Ketchak there. And in the West, we somehow got to call it monkey chant. I think it's associated with Hanuman in that way. But yes, that Nonsuch series, I think you're talking about the Explorer series, that was very influential on many of us. Exactly. Often done in concentric circles with choreographed hands, and yeah. It's very, very dynamic. It is. You can see lots of Ketchak on YouTube. And if you come, if you go to crosspulse.com, and there's a link to the International Body Music Festival, we also have clips of archival clips there that you can see those as well. Any other questions?
Yes. On several occasions, I've been able to go to your programs and workshops, and I've seen you have some vocal performers from different parts of the world that do very unusual things with their voices. And I believe, like, for example, the Inuit duets.
Right.
Could you talk a bit how you about these performers and what you have learned from them and what has been most unusual for you?
Sure. Well, the Inuits do something called katachak. Notice the onomatopoeia of this. Ketchak in Bali, katachak in Nunavut, which is for northern Canada, where the Inuits jurisdiction there. That has an interesting story, because you must have seen the first body music festival that we did here in 2008. About 20 years ago, I was touring in Europe, and I was in Amsterdam, and I came across an LP of Inuit throat singing, the katachak. And I found it, I brought it home, and I just kind of devoured it for a couple of months, just listened to it so often. The Inuit throat singing is done by pairs of people, usually women, and they get these sounds on the inhalation and the exhalation, like, and they often will get these high whistling melodies and really low guttural sounds, too. They're very sophisticated vocals. So they face each other, they hold each other's arms, they kind of rock gently, and they do this chanting basically into each other's mouths. They're about 6 inches apart, and it kind of distorts the sound. Sometimes it sounds electronic, but it's very old. It's totally unplugged. And so every song ends in laughter, a big belly laugh, because it's a game, and you're trying to make your, quote, opponent make the first mistake. So people start out kind of relaxed, and it gets a little faster, and they're doing this into each other's mouths, and suddenly somebody laughs, and then everybody laughs. And if there's an audience watching, they laugh too. It's some of the most joyous music I've ever seen. So I found this record, I brought it home. It was produced by a Canadian, like the Canadian Folklore Society or some equivalent of that name. So I listened to it for a couple of months, and then these two women, they were elderly sisters that lived in such a remote part that they saw other people once a year. They ended up in San Francisco. They were on a tour that this folk society was promoting in the U.S. So they ended up in my backyard, you know, like 2 months after I had gotten this record. So I went to see them. They were at the old ODC space when it was a black box. Ann knows this well. And I was so taken with these elderly women. They just knocked me out. The music they were doing, and I got to spend a little time around them, just their being. I just enjoyed them so much. And then I was on tour, so I saw their last, that was their first concert in the U.S., and I saw their last one at the end of their tour in New York at Dance Theater Workshop. So I was so taken by these performers and their music that when I started to produce the festival, International Body Music Festival, I thought, we have to have katachak. It's just some of the most amazing music I've ever seen, and not many people outside of Nunavut have really seen that. So I started poking around and asking, who do you know? You know, and after a few weeks, I ended up with a person's name, and I called her up. We had discussions for several weeks, and she decided to come, and she was going to bring her cousin. Now, these are people who had they'd never been to the U.S. They were coming to a festival that had never happened before, and talking to a man that they had never met. And yet they came, and it was so amazing, the experience with them and having them here and having them perform. And then 2 years later, we were invited to, I was invited to curate a program for Lincoln Center out of doors. So we did an International Body Music Festival evening there, and I asked them to open the show. And even New Yorkers stopped and you know, turned their heads. It's such an amazing sound, but it's called katachak. And again, you can go to the internationalbodymusicfestival.com or go to crosspulse.com. There's a link there, and you can kind of see those. Or you can search YouTube. There are lots of Inuit throat songs, Inuit throat music, but you can find it with those keywords. Yes?
Keith, thanks to you, a lot of us have had the opportunity to get tuned into this kind of music work. Mm-hmm. And two names come to mind mm-hmm. who have also dealt with this, and one is Yo-Yo Ma mm-hmm. and the Silk Road Ensemble, mm-hmm. and the other was Mickey Hart. Mm-hmm. And I wondered what you, how you believe those two examples kind of support the universality of this appeal.
Wow. You know, I'm not an expert in either of those cases, unfortunately. The route that I took was musical curiosity, but relationship. It's all kind of based on relationships. And this is how we got to, we began producing the Body Music Festival around the world. We established these artistic relationships with other artists, and we became good friends, and then we became partners and co-producers. So they all have the element of friendship, of relationship, I'm really glad to say. When we were in Bali, I was working with a network of producers there. Some of them I've worked with for 40 years now. 40 years, some for 35, and some for 30 years. And it's just this network that's been growing for decades and just kind of recycling back into this network. It's very rich in that way because it's not just music and dance, but it's all those relationships that came before it.
We have time for one last question.
Yes, you said you worked with tap dancers mm-hmm, a while ago,
right.
And I keep thinking you must be a tap dancer also because these are the rhythms that we're most familiar with uh-huh. as far as body language goes, and the wonderful rhythms. Do you tap dance?
I don't. No, I love tap dancing, and I decided a while ago that if I wanted to be a tap dancer, it's such a demanding art form that I realized I was going to have to give up everything else in order to concentrate on that, and I could not make that commitment. So I decided I'm going to leave the taps off my shoes. I'll do some soft shoe, incorporating it in with the body music, and just it kind of grew organically out of the sounds I was trying to make. But I don't have a tap dance background other than being around it and the osmosis effect. Yeah.
Actually, that was not a long answer, so here.
Okay.
I wondered if you've looked into the music culture of the Tuva culture. Mm-hmm. I understand that they have site-specific songs that are sung only in a particular place, like over a canyon mm-hmm. because of the acoustics, mm-hmm. and also they have horse-riding songs.
Right.
Can you talk about them?
I don't know a lot about them. I've heard these very things that you're talking about. I've read that as well. It is another kind of overtone singing. It's different than the Inuit. The sounds are different. Some are similar. That high whistling melody kind of crosses over into those styles. But there are many styles of throat singing, overtone singing around the world, and they all have their very special kind of personality. Tuvans are probably the most known because we've had all these great recordings that have come out in the last few years of Tuvan music. Yeah, Tuva. T-U-V-A. Pardon? T-U-V-A. Mm-hmm, Tuva. Yeah, and there are many good recordings out there that you can check out. I'm sorry, you had a question just a moment ago. You had another question?
Oh, she asked me a question.
Oh, okay, great. It was about the Tuvans. All right.
Okay, can we give Keith Terry a round of applause?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was a wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we also want to thank our listening audience, and you, our audience here. And now this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California commemorating its 112th year of enlightened discussion is adjourned.